Our Democrat of the day comes from 41B, which is just on the north side of Minneapolis there, basically west of 35W, east of 94 and south of 694. Mary Kanish Podine is joining us to talk about her campaign as the Democrat of the day. Mary, thank you very much for the time.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
My pleasure to have you with us. You actually were on with me 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember that. You were a Democrat of the Day back in 2016, and you won.
I did. I did indeed. I've been at the House of Representatives now for 2 years, coming up on my first reelection, and it's been an incredible 2 years for sure.
Just to remind everyone out there, why don't you give a little bit of a background on your pre-representative career. Who exactly is Mary Kanish Podine?
Oh, great. So I live in New Brighton, represent Columbia Heights and Hilltop, St. Anthony Village, and the southern half of New Brighton. And when I'm not doing my legislative duties, I'm actually an educator. I've been a teacher for the last, I think I started my 23rd year of teaching this
wow.
year. I'm a library media specialist at the Robbinsdale Middle School and was at the elementary level for 20-some years. So that's what really keeps me busy.
Well, fantastic, and thank you very much for being a teacher. I mean, it's this time of year it's all time of year that we should be saying thank you to the teachers because you guys do such a great job. We have such a great education system in Minnesota, and one of the main reasons why is the teachers. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Talk about your first 2 years. You got in 2016. You went in for 41B. Most of the people I've talked to, they talk about the brash nature of the Republicans was really kind of a downer. What was your experience in the first 2 years over in St. Paul?
Well, like any legislator coming in, it is just a whirlwind of learning the process, learning the names of everybody, where to be, all of those sort of things. I sit on the Education Policy Committee, Ag Policy Committee, State Government Finance. I was assigned to the School Trust Committee, the committee that deals with MNLARS, all sorts of things. So the first year really was just learning who, what, when, where, and how things are operating, and then just the protocol of being on the floor and listening to how people speak and all of that. It was pretty overwhelming most days, but you know, you get used to it. You start building those relationships and find ways to start working on the issues that are put before you and are most important. And so last year felt more productive because I was able to carry a couple of bills that I was really passionate about and had really strong bipartisan support. They didn't make it through to the finish line, but we can go back in and do it again. So that's, it's such a blur. It's hard to bring it right down 2 years into a few good sentences, but a huge learning experience for sure.
Can I ask? I mean, obviously, the real treat would be is if the Democrats get back the House, and then you'll be able to reintroduce these bills. Why don't you talk about one or two of those, but especially the bills you definitively, if you go back, you're back in St. Paul after 2018. What bills do you want to reintroduce?
So I introduced last year a bill to create a task force to study and do some problem solving around the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Minnesota. About a year ago, 2 years ago, Canada did a national study around this whole really serious and heartbreaking situation, historical trauma that our Native women and other folks have gone through since colonization. And the other states are starting to pick up on it as well, but last year, I was able to put together a really good bill that would get different agencies and different programs and different police, like the FBI and local police, working together to collect the data. Because the first thing is that we just don't even know how many and where this is happening, because the data is skewed in different ways. There's jurisdictional issues. Folks just stop telling people or telling the police that this is happening. And then bringing those folks together to create some kind of a plan on how we can address it and minimize the problem. So my missing and murdered Indigenous women is certainly one of the first ones I'll work on. Another one is called Jake's Law, and it is to bring drug abuse and addiction preventative curriculum into schools, starting at fifth grade all the way through high school. I had a mother who lost her son to opioid addiction overdose come to me and ask me to help her with this. She's created an incredible foundation called For Jake's Sake, and we've been working really hard. Both of those bills had 100% bipartisan support, came very, very close to being passed. They were both in the final omnibus bills, but those just didn't happen. And then there's some around health with allowing vitamins for folks that have pancreas and liver disease to be able to use their insurance to pay for those important medications that will keep them alive. Just the whole slew of them.
Well, and I want to bring up something here, because you got, first of all, it's you know, you brought up two, what you easily could say were populist issues, issues that had broad support. I mean, the fight to research what's happening to Indigenous women, it's hard to fathom how even the Republican leadership couldn't just put that bill on a fast track. We're going to do we'll do a hand vote, send it up to the Senate, we're done. And we're getting this one passed.
Right.
Same thing with the Jake's bill. What's interesting is you talk about this opiate addiction and the problems they're having. When my kids now, they do sports at the school level, and so they have to do the drug talk. They don't talk about heroin. They don't talk about marijuana a little bit. I guess they should say they talk about those things a little bit. Almost the entire discussion is about opiates, because they are so dangerous and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Awareness at a younger age. I mean, that's another one. When you look at what the Republicans did with this omnibus bill, we're not supposed to have these massive bills that are coming through, especially introduced with 3 hours before the end of session, and you guys have to, you know, just vote one way or the other. The reality is that's part of the problem that we're having, and why we need to have a Democratic majority, is because, you know, these are good bills with wide support on both sides of the aisle, and we can't get them done because they're using it as, let's face it, they're using that as a bribe to try to get something that the governor does not want in the omnibus bill. Maybe even has told them, don't put this in the bill. But they're saying, well, if you want to do research on what's happening to Indigenous women, you have to give another tax break to the wealthy. And those are two things. That's the failure, I think, of what's been happening the last 2 years with the Republican leadership in the House.
It's true, and that's really frustrating, and it was also a little heartbreaking to realize that was how the game was being played. You know, I don't know about other legislators. You go in there and you think, I want to really make a difference. I want to be a good legislator. I want to represent my community in Minnesota to the best of my ability. Folks are bringing me this really important legislation. Everybody agrees on it. Why isn't it passing? And these huge omnibus bills that are just full of junk and yuck. And then you have to, you know, it comes down to oftentimes where we have to compromise ourselves, you know, and our communities in order to get one or two good things done. We have to vote against, you know, other things that are really important but won't be included if we were to vote one way or the other. And so those kind of shenanigans are really disheartening. I'm really hoping that when the Dems get back into the majority, and I'm pretty optimistic, that this is not the sort of thing that we will continue to make a precedence. It just doesn't work. We haven't gotten anything done, it feels like, for 2 years. They sent me to the Capitol to get work done. I feel like in so many ways my hands and my feet are tied, we just can't continue this down this road of getting nothing done and issues that are really important are not being addressed. the important resources that all Minnesotans need, no matter whether they live in the urban, the rural, the suburban. They're not getting them. And I'm looking at schools specifically. I'm looking at the elderly. I'm looking at some of the gun control issues that people are clamoring about. And when you look at it at the end of session, it's like, why were we sitting here all these days when nothing is going to get done? And we all kind of went in there knowing, but keeping our fingers crossed, that would happen.
There's a real...
So it's a heartbreak.
It's a real disingenuous process when even bills like you have been sponsoring, which are 100%ers, both sides of the aisle want these things done, they have no chance because those have to be used as a bargaining chip to get unpopular and, let's face it, you know, just, you know, political agenda-driven issues passed a governor. Mm-hmm. And this is why the state is failing. It's not failing because of not good ideas. It's failing because we have a political party and really only a handful of Republicans who've taken control of the entire process, who are basically trying to use this for their own personal gain. And it's this is why this thing is broken. This is why we need to have a Democratic majority. Once again, Mary Knish Podine is joining us. You are – this is kind of interesting. Your challenger isn't a Republican by – political affiliation. It's an independent. But I'll be honest with you. I was looking at your opposition. He sure looks like a Republican. But you still have it's one of those things where you're a district where the Republicans, they're not even trying in that district, but it's not a slam dunk. You do have an independent challenger, and obviously it's a seat we need to hold and send you back into St. Paul.
Yeah. There was a Republican challenger that filed initially and then pulled back his application by the deadline. So that was interesting. I don't know what that was all about in my district. I haven't heard about that. And my challenger is sort of a perennial campaigner. He has run for pretty much every elected position possible in our district from, you know, I think he did, I don't know if he challenged our senator, but he did challenge our state representative, Carolyn Lane, before she went to the Senate. He's a constitutionalist and swears by the Constitution and doesn't see any variables when it comes to that. But he is a challenger, and I have to take that seriously. So I've been out in the community this summer, been talking to folks, door knocking. I had a primary also that I won very soundly with 86%. So it's an affirmation that my community feels like I'm on the right track, that I'm doing a good job of representing them. And with that kind of confidence, it really makes me feel like I'm on the right track and I'm moving not only our communities, but all of Minnesota, you know, in the right direction. It might take us a while to get there, but I'm impatient, but I'm persistent. So we'll just continue on with our progressive values and really working hard to make sure that Minnesota has what it needs to succeed.
I think the Republican that withdrew might actually be the smartest Republican I know. It's like you can see good leadership. We need this leadership back in St. Paul. I want everyone to go to Mary's webpage, www.kunesh-podein.com, correct?
Yep, that's it.
All right, I'll link to that on all the social media a little bit later on. If you can make a donation, volunteer, help her out this campaign cycle, it'd be greatly appreciated. Mary Knish Podine is once again 41B, our Democrat of the day. Mary, thank you once again for joining us, and all my best.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Take care. Mary Knish Podine joining us once again, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got to get to this ruling by the federal government on the Iron Range. They're trying to kill the Iron Range. We'll talk about that. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.